Don feels led to share something this morning, so there you go.
Okay, primarily to the adults. Poor people, you know, getting there. How many of you were born and raised in Corden? Okay. How many weren't? Now stop and think about this. When you were a little younger, did you dream about the opportunity to go live in Corning, California? The point I'm wanting to make, and I believe God just impressed upon my heart this morning, for such a time as this, you know, our God, He told Moses at the bush, He says, I am that I am. He's the God of the very moment we exist in. And He has called all of us down through the years to bring us to this point and this time for what lies ahead when the body of Christ begins to be the body of Christ proclaimed. Our pastor says he doesn't have a message. I believe he's got a wondrous message for our ears this morning. Because God is always there for such a time as this. And the fact that we're all here, everyone paid a turn to look into someone else's eyes. Just, I don't care if it's your mate, your friend, or just someone else. Think about it. Look into their eyes. Why am I in fellowship with this individual? Who really orchestrated that? Who drove me in charge here? It's our God, isn't it? And we lose sight of that so many times because of things, circumstances, pressures, trials. But He is the God of this moment. Now and forever. Jesse, tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning, will he be gone at home? Yes. By the way, I'm glad to see you, brother. How's that? Hey, now, this was just laying on my heart this morning. I woke up just telling myself this over and over again. Rejoice in the Lord because He has, looking down through the ages, has brought us to this moment. And where we go forward from here is going to be just a thing of glory. And we all get to give part of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
You know, we talk a lot about unity in the body, and we just think if we can get all the churches together, all the people together, if we could just be united, then it would be awesome. It would be wonderful. God would show up and everything would be as it was supposed to be. And I was thinking this morning, I don't think it's any coincidence that in this Bible study we began a few days ago, that I think my reading from last night had to do with the Tower of Babel. And probably the greatest instance of unity ever in the history of mankind happened on the plains of China. When all the people who existed at that time got together and started building a tower in order to reach the heavens, in order, I guess, to touch the face of God or something. But they all got together. There was unity unlike the world had ever seen or has seen since. The Bible talks about what an awesome thing unity is. And Psalm 133 says that how wondrous it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's the anointing of God like flowing down on Aaron and running off his beard and covering his robe. That's unity. And we all know that the unity of the Tower of Babel was unity in man's strength. They all got together on their own and began to build this tower. But God was not pleased with the unity of man in their own strength. And He dispersed us. And what he confused, what he dispersed, was our language, our speech, our form of communication, which by implication means written word also. So our communication was confused, it was divided. But we have an opportunity, like Don was saying, what brings us all this morning at this time, for such a time as this, here and now, to open the Word of God. All of us, beginning on the same day, in the same place, speaking the same Word, united by the Word, which was confused when we tried to do it in our own strength, but now united by the Word of God and His testimony, bringing us together. Can you imagine what would happen, what will happen here and now as we read the Word together and become united that way, not in our own strength? That's why there's God knows how many different denominations and how many different religions, because no matter how hard we try and talk about unity, we're all doing it in our own strength and our own understanding. But reading the Word together as a body opens the door wide. Amen. Even across the
Yeah, thanks for laughing at
me. I'm not laughing at you, brother. I'm
laughing at you. Pastor doesn't have a message this morning, so I just put it. Yeah, thank you. But that's not that. My message was titled Unity.
Should I have
a seat now? No. Because you're going to hold my hand like you did last night. No, I'm serious. My message is just here. You guys know how I speak, right? I have to read. There it is, the 20-something pages. I wrote it. And you heard what I just said. I wrote it. Read
that again.
It was in my own strength. Pastor doesn't have a message, but I was supposed to speak this morning. And I was supposed to speak on unity. I may make this, I'm probably going to make it much longer here. Okay, I was doing it in my own strength. What you were going to hear from me was me. That's wrong. I'm here this morning to apologize. God's doing a work in myself.
Yes.
It's been a crazy 24 hours. What he opened up last night to me on the way home, what he opened up to me this morning, was just things in my life that I've got to change. And it starts with unity. Okay. And that I know that you guys will love me in spite of myself. Thank you. If you didn't hear, she said, well, I really do love you. Pastor loved me through it, and I know God will love me through it. So you weren't supposed to hear from me this morning because of it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
And me too.
Turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to have church. There are biblical principles that work whether you include God in or not. Because God set forth principle, and this is the way that everything functions, is according to His principles. So you don't have to give glory to God. If you apply biblical principles, you will succeed. They will work. they will bear fruit every single time, because God said, if you do it this way, this is what will happen. And that's what happened at the Tower of Babel. Man came together, they were all speaking the same language. They spoke the same language. They were talking the same language to one another. Okay? And in that unity, they set out to build a tower, but they set out it was all in their own works. They set out, they made the bricks and the mortar, and when you read through scripture, bricks represent man's own work. Okay? They set out making bricks and mortar, and they set out making this tower, but they said, and let us make a name for ourselves. That's what they set out to do. Was to make a name, make an identity for themselves rather than who God had created them to be and what God's plan was for man. They set out to make their own name, their own identity. And God looks down and says, no, 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 we can't let this happen. So he uses the language, he confounds their language and he causes them to babble. That's where we get that word. They're babbling. They're not speaking the same language. You start talking to me about something I have no understanding about, construction, that's something. You start talking technical terms about building a house, and you are babbling to me. But I can start talking to you about how to fix a car, and it will be babbling to you. Because that's what I did my whole life. But God separates, he uses the language so that they start speaking a different language. And isn't it interesting that the day of Pentecost, which man wants to argue about all the time, the day of Pentecost, it was a heavenly language. It was the language of the Spirit of God that began to speak that day. And everybody heard it in their own tongue. Everybody understood it. And it brought unity to man. I mean, it brought unity back again. It brought unity with God, and it brought unity together as the church. So he used language to separate man, and then he uses his language to bring us back together again. So how does the unity in the church happen? When we all begin to speak the language of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about when we come to church one day and somebody has a need and somebody else that's in the room, whether the pastor's got a message or not, there's somebody in here has a need. There's somebody in here that's walking in victory. When you speak the things of the Spirit, maybe you have no idea, but God just begins to put a burden on your heart to speak something to this person. You have a responsibility to be obedient to that, because God's trying to rescue their soul. God's wanting to help that need. He's wanting to fulfill it. And the path that he chooses to do it is through your soul. Remember, we were talking about this last week. You look at the tabernacle. The way for the glory of God to come out always came out through the holy place. When they established the tabernacle and all those things, all of the sacrifices were there. The fire of God came out of the Holy of Holies through the holy place and out and consumed the sacrifices. The glory comes through the soul of man. That's how God chose to do it. He wants to glorify himself through you, through the things that you speak, through the emotions, through the things. When we lay down the things of the flesh, God is going to, he is going to manifest his soul through you. And I walked in here this morning thinking, I'm down here early this morning and I got nothing. I spent the time with the Lord. I got nothing. I tried everywhere. I went to familiar scriptures. I tried just flipping my Bible open. I sat here and went, okay, Lord, I'm just not hearing you. And finally I came to the conclusion, I'm not supposed to have anything. Okay. So then I started thinking about it. If the pastor didn't show up, and I think this is where we've really made the huge mistake in the church through the ages, it has developed into this thing that the pastor is supposed to do everything. And I've shared this before. That is not my heart. It is not supposed to revolve around me. I am not the church, we are. This building is not the church, we are. We're supposed to be the church. Are we going to allow the Spirit of God to manifest through us? Maybe one person's in need. It talks about it in James chapter, I think it's chapter 5. It says, let's just go there and read it. Is there any among you afflicted? James chapter 5 verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Did you come this morning expecting to hear a message from Pastor Mike, or from Steve, or whatever? Maybe you knew Steve was supposed to speak. Whatever it is, did you come expecting just needing something, or did you come thinking maybe God might speak through you to someone else? Did you pray about it? Did you just come to get something, or did you come thinking, you know what, God might want to speak something to me. Lord, I want to spend a little bit of time with you this morning. Maybe the pastor walks in and goes, I'm just a stinking mess, and I need to hear from God this morning. And maybe he wants to use you to minister to me. Praise God! Yeah, the pastor might be a stinking mess. I am occasionally. It happens. But that's what, why, if we are the church, then why shouldn't I be able to walk in here and just say, man, I've fought all week long and I just need to be ministered to? Who would say, I got it? Where's the church functioning as the church? Steve's message was out of Ephesians 4. Beginning in verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the unity in the Spirit, we are one body. 1 Corinthians 10 says we are one body because of the bread. Okay? Relating it back to communion again. Because of the broken body of Christ. Now, I don't care if you're in a Pentecostal church, I don't care if you're in a Baptist church, I don't care where you're at, I don't care if you're Lutheran, Catholic, whatever it is. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sins, then we believe in that same cross, and we are one body, we are one bread. Okay? We are one body because of that. But we are not in unity in the Spirit. That's where the cup comes in. And it's not just drinking the wine, because man will argue if you're supposed to use wine or grape juice. Man will argue over everything. It's not about that. It's what it represents. It's by His blood. And by partaking of that, you are walking into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. And you are saying that you are laying self down and you are going to take on His character and nature. And only when you do that are we in unity in the Spirit. There's only unity in the Spirit when you walk in here and you are conformed to the image of Christ and you begin to take on His character with your brothers and sisters. If Don walks in here and he's conformed to the image of Christ and he walks into the character and nature of Christ being full of grace and truth to speak into my life and I'm in that same place, we are in unity in the Spirit of God. There's the unity of the Spirit. Only in that. Remember, we're one body, whether you walk in here in the Spirit or not. We are one body. You are still my brother or my sister. But there is no unity in the Spirit until the character of Jesus Christ is being expressed in the body. Now there's unity. We could just stop right there. That's what we should long for, isn't it? Isn't that what we should long for? But that's the very personal part of it. I can't make you drink that cup. Hold on, Michael. I can't make you drink that cup, and you can't make me. You may take the little communion cup, and you may partake of that, but I cannot make you express and take part of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Can't make you do it. You have to lay your soul down for that. You have to be willing to die to self and allow Him to manifest in your life. In order for that to happen, and nobody can make you do that. It's a very personal thing. The bread, yeah, we'll break the bread, we'll share that, but when you pick up that cup, only you can drink from that cup. Okay? We're not throwing straws in that. You know what I mean? You can't partake of the character of Christ through me, and I can't do it through you. That's something each one of us has to make a choice to do, but there's the unity in the Spirit. That's what it's talking about. Paul goes through the first three chapters of Ephesians and pours his heart out about who we are in Christ. who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ. And when he gets you there and all of a sudden you realize who you are in Christ, the very first thing he does is now humble yourself. Therefore, in light of everything I just shared in this letter that you've just read previously, in light of all of that, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I beg you that you walk worthy of that call. Walk worthy of that blood. Walk worthy of everything that he shared in that letter. Walk worthy of it. With all lowliness and meekness, and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's what it's all for, isn't it? Everything that he talks about in the first two chapters and who we are in Christ, but usually what happens is we get all puffed up in it. That's who I am in Christ, and then we start pointing fingers and saying, well, you ain't got it going on, I do. And we start pointing fingers back and forth at one another, getting puffed up with pride. And this is exactly why Paul says, therefore, I beg you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. He gives them a new commandment, John 14. He says, today I give you a new commandment. He's already knocked them off their feet by telling them we got a new covenant. And then he goes, I got a new commandment. This is rocking their world that night at the Last Supper. You know, we got that pretty little picture on the wall. I believe it was full of emotion and passion, and he is just knocking them off their feet. I got a new commandment for you. Love one another as I've loved you. Whew. Michael. Letting stuff go. There you go. You got it. You can't hold on to your anger and all your stuff and be in unity, can you? All it does is divide and tear things up. Thank you. He continues on in verse 4. It says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All of this is to remind you, humble yourself. Don't get puffed up thinking you got it going on. Because none of us do. None of us do. If we don't completely stay, I mean, the very same thing, why Steve wasn't doing it is this morning, is because the very first thing that he tells him to do, that's what God was showing him out. Wait a minute, you can't do this because you got to get here first. And it was a very humbling experience for my brother. Hard for me to watch because I watched it just rip him up. I watched it. But when I shared it with him, I watched the brokenness, and in that I saw Christ all over it. So you can walk in here in absolute need and brokenness, and you are still partaking of the nature of Christ if you will let down the wall of pride and share it with a brother or sister that you're struggling with something. You say, where's that the nature of Christ? Look in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. He cried out, oh, that this cup be taken from me. You think it wasn't hard for him to do that? You think he didn't have struggles? It says that he was so stressed. When you look at it, he was so worked up over it that he was sweating droplets of blood. Have you struggled with sin to the point of bleeding? Have you struggled with those things in your life? Have you struggled with the flesh to the point where you are sweating blood? To the point where you just go, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours. Because I'm done with this rotten, stinking flesh. I'm done with it. Cindy?
This is a true testimony. This week, on Tuesday, I was questioning myself, and I was questioning why I was in presence. And because my interest in spirit has had a confusion with the word God. Is it because of the new day? And what the Lord brought me down to was to come here to the house of worship. You come here to the house of prayer. You come here to be God. So that made me do the thinking. First, he brought me to the reservoir. I don't want to say I heard, but I heard, you need to share this in church. And I was like, I kind of laughed like Sarah did. And then, it's like, okay, Lord, but only if Mike stands up there, because he doesn't have a message. So, this is the first
I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I really, it just made me think of who could be greater in proclaiming the word of God than John the Baptist. You know, because here in Christ is no man is greater born of women. Yet, Jesus goes on to say, the least, he is the least in the kingdom of heaven comes to life. How can that be? And I think part of the message is that we're loved here in the kingdom of God. We are loved. We are equal. We are one. We are parts of one body. Every part has a purpose. Even if you don't think very highly of yourself, or you think too highly of yourself, if God loves us so that each of us has a purpose and a function, and that some can proclaim message to a whole group of people, then maybe some of us just have a little tiny part that we minister to somebody else, and we find ourselves.
Thank you. It's where we're headed, isn't it, Michael? There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now I want to read that, taking the it's parenthetical, the way it's written. Paul, he hit the point and then he kind of expounds on something. But sometimes to really follow clearly what he's doing, sometimes you can take that out, not for good, I'm not saying take it out of scripture. But in order to keep, to kind of follow the thought, watch how it reads. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now man will debate this. They will look at this as you're called to be an apostle, or he is an apostle, and we want to get into the names and all the stuff. And here we go, man putting his hand to it again. Okay? That's the danger of the whole thing. The point of the whole thing is, some of us are called to different things than others. I'm called to be a pastor. At this point in my life, I'm functioning as a pastor or a shepherd over the body. But when I'm struggling and I don't have a message, who's to say that Bruce can't function as an apostle and come and speak life into me and encourage me where I'm at that moment? Who's to say Eddie can't step up at that moment in the gift of evangelism, and God, the Spirit of God comes on him in evangelism, and he begins to function in that. And it has nothing to do with age or experience at all. It's all about surrendering to the Spirit of God. I've seen this man function apostolically. I've witnessed it, and it happened. It has nothing to do with his experience. It has everything to do with him surrendering to God. Now, it's not hard for him to do that. His fight is, he can try to walk around in that all the time when he's not called to. His fight is keeping his flesh in check and not allowing that to be a prideful thing. That's all he has to concern himself with, is walking in that, staying humble, just like Paul starts out right here at the beginning. Humble yourself. At the moment that he starts trying to walk around apostolically or as an evangelist, and he gets puffed up with pride, and it's not in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, he's lost it. It's him all over it at that point. Right? So the point is, Michael. I can show you where pride leads directly to shame. And then shame leads to blame. Yep. And either way, there's still judgment involved. You're either judging yourself greater or lesser than. You're still judging someone else and then judging yourself accordingly. Okay? Don?
Well, you know, we read this earlier, and it says, is there any of it among you? They are afflicted. Let him pray. Sick among you, let him call for the elders and pray for him, and write him that the oil of God in the name of the Lord. Now, it gets down here and says, if you have committed sins, they should be forgiven him. That comes after, or comes with the confessing your faults one to another. That was a great message. What Steve was willing to humble himself
and
confess that one thing that he allowed self to intrude upon the holy place. He wasn't being wrong.
Humility is the key.
He's a sharp guy, and he can compose a composition. Intellectually, he can handle it. But God wants to take us higher and farther. And the thing about it is, with all that you are leading us through in taking us to the Holy of Holies, we're going beyond our intellect. No longer will we know in our humanness, but we will begin to glory in God.
Absolutely.
And I thank God for that. That message, just of his simple confession.
That's it. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We don't even have to get into the details of them. Okay? Just recognize that they're all different ones. Recognize that God may move on you at any given time. There is a move kind of across the, in the church, mainly in this nation and probably extending out into the world right now. But recognizing the times we live in, there's this move where guys are really starting to recognize one another and call themselves the apostolic fathers because they see that the church has been missing the apostolic movement. Okay? That's not for man to do. And I don't care what kind of achievement you've reached in your church. I don't care if you've got 5,000 members in your church. I don't care how many churches you've birthed out of it. Anything else. You are not an apostle until God puts that anointing on you. And so there is, it's very sneaky how it happens, and they begin to come in and try to influence you or influence people in a certain direction. And recognizing that we need apostolic fathers, do we? Yeah. We need humble men of God. Humble, very first thing. Humble yourself with lowliness and in love towards one another. In that, it will begin to function. But it doesn't happen when we begin to move and just try to influence somewhere another way. I start feeling puffed up while I'm the pastor, and I try to influence my brother in a certain direction when it's not led of the Spirit. I just want him to conform to a certain image that I want him to be. Now I'm in trouble. There's big problems right there. But here's the purpose of the whole thing. He gave different functions in the church and different functions in people and different anointings and different callings for one reason, and here it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, conformed into His image. That's the reason for it all. It's for every one of us to be conformed into His image. It's for every one of us to come into the full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. It's not about who I say he is. Matter of fact, it comes down to who Mark says that Christ is, who I say that he is, who Tony says it is, who Val Ann says he is. And when you put it all together, we begin to see the functioning and the fullness of who Christ is in our lives. But I can't do it without Mark. I can't do it without Tony. I can't do it without Val Ann. Each one of them holds a piece. Each one of you holds a piece. We're called together to be a body. We're called to bring everybody functioning together to bring it to the for the perfecting of the saints. It's the maturing of the body of Christ. It means to be mature. It's time to be mature about it and quit being childish about what we're doing. Amen? It's time to be serious about it. That we henceforth, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That joint that it's talking about is the relationship that we have with one another. If Eddie's a part of the body and I'm a part of the body, it's the relationship between the two of us that allows us to work together. My finger can't work without the joint. Okay? The joint becomes the relationship between the two parts, between the two bones. The relationship is that which allows us to function together. That's why it's absolutely important that we don't allow offense or bitterness to get in there, because it's like spiritual arthritis. That's what begins to happen. Nothing moves. Nothing works together. I get arthritis in my finger. I got a finger and I got a thumb. Without each other, they're worthless. I might poke you with the finger or poke you with a thumb, but I can't pick up anything. I can't do what it was purposed to do in the first place. Okay? I can't do any of that. So we've got to keep the defilement. We've got to confess our faults one to another, as it says in James. We've got to be willing to be humble and say, I'm struggling with this right now. Or walk in and say, man, I had a victory in Christ this week, because maybe that testimony of your victory is going to encourage the one that's struggling at that point. There's a reason for all of it. If you're in the middle of a struggle, maybe somebody else needs to be encouraged, because maybe they're just depressed because they think they're the only one that's got a problem. Maybe they need to know that you got a problem too. And then everybody goes, well, we all got a problem. What's the answer? Jesus. Amen. And if we can come together and realize we all got a problem, then we can all join arms and seek Jesus together. Amen? Because that's the only thing that's going to fix the whole thing. But we got to let down the pride. We got to let down all the stuff and be willing to be humble, just like Steve was. The message came when you humbled yourself. You opened it this morning, brother. It started coming. God encouraged you through Dawn. God encouraged you through Bruce. And then at that point, you were willing to be humble. And it was the key, and it unleashed the message for this morning. Thank you. Thank you. That's all God wants right there, is our humility, our willingness to just stand up and bear a heart. Here I am, God. I got nothing. Here I am, God. I broke me. That's all you can do at that point. Am I right? Am I right? All you can do. When God hits you like he did last night. I'm sorry, brother, but God sucked you right in the nose last night. Sorry I had to do it. I am, but I'm not. Because I see where he's at today. I see what God did in this man overnight, and I see the humility in him that released what's taking place here this morning. Amen? We had church. That's what we're supposed to do. Michael is, he's a part of this morning. What's up?
Yeah, what?
Like, sometimes in the Bible, when you still have that, it's about man. It's a man, not man.
Mm-hmm. It's talking about mankind.
Well,
in
all the things we have
to
still,
we have to feel a bit part of the body, huh? You know, in heaven, it's not going to be about man or woman or husband or wife or any of that. Well, we'll talk about that some other time. I love you, buddy.
Did God minister to you this morning? My heart is, I pray that those that came in here with a need this morning got ministered to. I pray those that walked in here in victory this morning and had a testimony, I hope it encourages you to rise above all of it and keep walking in that victory. Whatever it is, we need each other. And next time the pastor walks in and says, I got no message, maybe it's you that's supposed to bring it. I mean, I came to that point, I just realized, I'm not supposed to have one. I went all over the place looking for it. I had prayed. I had done everything that I was supposed to do. I played my guitar, so many songs. You know, you got to do the right number of songs and all the stuff. Maybe I didn't do the right song. Maybe I read the wrong place. I went from one end of the spectrum to the other. But God is always faithful, and he's rescued us this morning. Amen? Hmm.
Can I pray for you? Stand up. Thank you, Jesus.